better put him in the Heisman.
Got that wood right here, baby.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
They're going to run and get that boot.
The Arkansas Razorbacks have completed the dream season.
A baseball team is on the way back. A College World Series title. The Bomb Stadium.
I almost got fired because I went Willie the Boss after I had a little too much sauce.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
We had a previous caller in the last segment. I believe it was Don in Greenwood, if I'm not mistaken. And we were up against the brakes. Sorry to cut you off there, Don. But he was asking about this whole 30% or 40%, 70%, whatever percentage is on the offensive playbook, the offensive install, how familiar Nick Starkel is with the playbook and all of that. And, you know, I think it's a legitimate point because there's sometimes we have people that bring up criticisms of Chad Morris or criticisms of the staff that I don't think really matter, like the whole him going home and his going to watch his son play high school football or his family not living here or anything like that. I think those are valid criticisms. However, this criticism, though, about this playbook and about the percentages, I don't know how much of an impact that actually has or if that's holding them back or anything. But I will say, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, Tommy, because I don't
fault, And you will.
You'll be the first one to speak up. But
only because Clay's not.
He'll take care of that in the next 2 hours. But I have not heard of any other coaches from any other college football programs that took over new programs and trying to change everything where these things were brought up, these percentages were brought up with their playbook and with their install and all of that, where it's taken. Yeah. It's because essentially it's going to take 3 years to get the offensive playbook installed.
He's being too honest, right?
That's what I think.
I think this has probably been a situation with other teams and coaches in other places where new quarterback, basically you've scrubbed the whole roster. You've started over. We talked about having 11 new starters from game one last year versus game one this year, even though some guys like, say Colton Jackson had started some games towards the tail end of last year. But the point is, most coaches, and I really don't understand Morris's honesty in this situation, would just lie to us. Yeah, we got 70% of the playbook in, but maybe part of his thinking or strategy is I want people to believe the best is yet to come. We're just scratching the surface, and I think a lot of fans are hoping for that because you hadn't seen a whole lot of best yet anyway. But well, I'm not sure. But it just seems like a moment of honesty that maybe wasn't necessary in this case.
Well, and if that's the case, okay. But as
fib,
we've
fib to us.
But at the same time, Tommy, though we've listened to, and I know we've watched every single Chad Morris press conference on hitthatline.com, every time he's met with the media, and we know that he keeps pretty much everything close to the chest.
Yeah.
He does not dive into details.
Why this one?
Yes, but wait, exactly. Why this comment? Why? Because it's one of two things, Tommy. It's either one, the thing you said, that he's like, hey, this is the best that's yet to come. Once we get our offense, once we get our roster, once we get everything that we want to see, it's going to be booming. It's just going to take some time, and here's the timetable for you. It's either that, or it's a built-in excuse for why the offense is not getting to the point that they want them to get.
Well, that could be it, that as well. The reality is, coaches aren't taking plays into games. When Joe Kranich and Chad Morris sat down 48 hours ago, or whenever it was, to really start rolling up the game plan and what's going on the Waffle House menu, the big play card for this week, you're only putting plays on there you think you can execute, plays you think you can run for positive yards. I mean, if you know, hey, we've tried to practice this group of plays and we've done it 2 days in a row and we have not gotten it right yet, not one time. We've run it 50 times and didn't get it right once. You're not putting that one on the list. So when you say offense installed and ready to go, there's probably a even smaller number of plays you're actually carrying into the game. If they've installed a third or 40% or whatever the number truly is of the offense, how many of those plays are you actually taking into the game with you? Because you're only taking the ones you think you can do well with, the ones you think matches up with Colorado State's defense with. Mm-hmm. So that's even a smaller number.
But is it that complicated of an offense? Is it that complicated of a thing where you say it's going to take three years to get my offense together and understood and instilled into this program?
Didn't Gus win with like five plays you know, that was their deal. They only had like five plays, eight plays, and they just ran a lot of variations and motions and what they like to call eye candy off of those plays. Yeah, I'm kind of like you. I didn't think that this offense was that deep. You know, because the other thought is, well, he's got 30% of the offense, a third of the offense or whatever in. Well, does that mean that there's 1,000 plays or something? You know, it's a thicker playbook than most. See, I thought these smash mouth spread guys had like literally like eight plays, and then you did all these tricks and motions and putting guys in different spots just to confuse the defense off the same basic play.
Yeah, instead of handing off to this guy, you hand off to this guy this time. You hand it off to this guy in motion, or you keep it.
It's the same guy, and you hand it off the same guy, but it's this guy coming around on a fake jet. You're going to fake the jet sweep from the wide receiver and still hand it to the running back.
Right.
You know? Or you reverse that. Now I do hand it to the guy and the fake to the fullback, you know, or tailback, running back.
Yeah, but to go back to the comment of, you know, this install and how familiar they are with it, to me, it just, it's all about if you're losing. If you're losing, everything's bad, no matter how you put it. If you're losing, people start bringing up stuff like Chad Morse's family not living in Arkansas. If he's winning, it doesn't matter. No one cares. But when you're losing, all bets are off. Everyone's bringing up anything and everything they can. Well, but this is one of those things, though, that I've always just been fascinated by, because with everything else, Chad Morse likes to keep it really close and not really go dive and deep into anything. But this is something he keeps bringing up, and it just doesn't really instill excitement and confidence in everybody, saying, okay, so you're telling me we have to wait till next year to see what your offense is really supposed to look like? Well, can you at least give us a taste of what it's supposed to look like?
It leads us to a comment on the Cherokee Casino Hotline. Scott in Greenwood texted in and says, man, I thought Saturday night it looked like Rich Rod had nearly everything in place.
Yeah.
Yeah, that offense looked like it was rolling in. He hasn't been there as long as Morris and Craddock have been at Arkansas.
You could at least tell what they were trying to accomplish and trying to do. But Kyle in Greenwood texts in as well, and he says, if I see the Wildcat with our offensive line, I might spend a lot more time in the beer line. Well, I mean, and then it's funny because then everyone's bringing it up. This comes from the 850 area code. It says, how much Wild Hog do you see tomorrow with Starkle? I say none. I felt like they were trying anything to get the ball moving with Hicks in the game. I don't know. I'm just saying that Wild Hog, Wildcat, Wild whatever you want to call it, it's not that it's just egregious and it never works and you should never run it. It's just you don't have the personnel to run it right now. And it was not effective against Ole Miss. And unless you have the threat to throw the ball from whoever the running back is taking the snaps, and unless you just don't have a quarterback that you feel confident in making plays himself, those are the only times you feel like, and having a good offensive line, mind you, those are the only times you should feel like you should run the Wildcat. But Arkansas is just not set for that. And that's also another thing that's added into the install of the offense. Well, they need to throw that one out in a lot of people's opinions because it just did not do any justice to this team.
Hey, it's tailgating season and football is here. Crabtree RV in Alma is celebrating with discounts up to $15,000 off on new fifth wheels and up to $10,000 off on new travel trailers. Check out their 26,000 square foot indoor showroom plus many more models outside as well, including the 2020 models from Grand Design and Coachman Freedom Express that have already arrived. Crabtree RV in Alma, exit 13 off of I-40, next door to the Cracker Barrel. It's where your family's dreams come true.
Let's go back to the Cherokee Casino Hotline. David is in South Arkansas. What's going on, David?
Good morning, gentlemen. Just some comments about what you're talking about, and then I'll let you go. I'm depressed enough about this season, and if we have two or three more years of this ineptitude, then I will be really depressed about the way the program is going. And I'll be honest, gentlemen, if we get excited and happy about six wins and, oh, gee, we're going to a bowl, our expectations have really bottomed out. And also another comment about the offense. Dad and I were watching that game the other day. The running back would be a little bit in front of the quarterback in the backfield. Oh, that's going to be a pass. The running back is a little bit behind the quarterback in the backfield. Oh, that's going to be a run. And we can tell, you know, the Ole Miss defense could tell. And you mentioned that Wild Hog, Wildcat, whatever the heck it is. Gee, Boyd is back there by himself. Oh, you think he's going to run? I don't know, gentlemen. I'll be honest. I don't know the whole deal with Morris. But anyway, thanks a lot, guys.
Well, appreciate the phone call, David. To go to your first comment, though, listen, I don't think anyone's just getting pumped up and thinking the expectation for this program in general is a 6-6 season. You got to take progression one season at a time. And 6-6
would meet or exceed a lot of people's expectations for this year.
Correct.
That's not the program expectation, David. No one's saying that. We're not saying that. I don't think you're saying that. You hired Chad Morris to get back to 10 wins. And then what happens beyond that's gravy, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, going 6-6 this year would be a solid season, all things considered.
Coming off two, yeah.
Now, if you're going 6-6 in year five of Chad Morris and barely scraping by, that's a different scenario. But yeah, you know, you have to build up to that. Because listen, even if you go back to, you know, I always compare it because this is what everyone points to. If you go back to Bobby Petrino in year two, they went 7-5. I know it's not 6-6, but was everyone saying just like, yes, the program standard has been met. We're all excited about 7-5. This is great. No, you were excited about the progress that the team was making and about the next season because you felt like you could take that next step.
Yeah.
That's what the excitement level was about. It's not that everyone was pumped about 7-5 and going and playing in the Liberty Bowl against East Carolina.
Yeah. You're wanting this year to be a transition, complete the transition into the Chad Morris offensive era, and then that really sets the table for next year. With Starkel perhaps coming back at quarterback, and a lot of these, as we've talked about earlier in the hour, a lot of these young guys at wide receiver, you're hoping you're training up some offensive linemen for the future, that you're going to be in a great position to elevate the launching pad for next year. That's what this is about, that you start off next year better off than you ended this year.
That's right. That's right. And they still have an opportunity to do that. It's not looking bright right now because all you have is two games to go off of, but they still have games to play.
But when it goes bad, like it did a year ago, and then all of those players are gone and you got to start over, I mean, at least if you could see a better team in November than you're seeing right now, even if they don't win as many games as we like, you can see and reasonably come up with the idea they're going to be starting in a much better spot next spring and then next August and then next September when they start the year. And hopefully be competitive at Notre Dame.
Yes, exactly. Because the schedule is not going to get any easier for Arkansas.
No, it's going to get harder.
And the time is now to take these steps. And Arkansas, and this is what's also the unfortunate thing about timing of it all, is that last year and this year, in my opinion, have been the easiest schedule that you could have while playing in the SEC West. Because last year, you had no Power 5 team on your non-conference, and your East opponent, your rotating East opponent was Vanderbilt that you had at home. I mean, it doesn't get better than that. No, you still got to play Missouri, and it's not like you're playing Georgia or Florida every year. You're playing Missouri. So that's your other East opponent. Of course, you go through the West. It's tough, but it's not that tough. And then this year, you have, again, no Power 5 opponent in non-conference, and you go on the road to Kentucky, who right now, especially with losing their starting quarterback for the season, may be in some trouble. Very winnable game. And then you also have Missouri. So these 2 years, these are the 2 years you would want to have if you were in rebuild mode as a coach and as a program. These are the 2 seasons you want to have, because looking for the next 10 years, folks, you're not going to get anywhere close to this type of schedule. You got Power 5 opponents coming in. You got not only just Power 5, but really quality Power 5 opponents. The SEC West, you're still going to go into. You're still going to have to play teams like Georgia, teams like Florida. I mean, and I know that it's all cyclical and you never know what the SEC is going to look like, but I'm telling you that this season right here, why it's always been so important, why we just hammered this point in the offseason leading up and into fall camp, why this season is so important. It's not important to get the 10 wins. It's important to take that next step, because next year you can't afford to be able to have a season where you're trying to rebuild still and take that next step still. You can't have that same situation, or you'll end up having another 2-10, 3-9 year. You just can't afford to do it. So that's why this season is so important to take that next step.
Hey, are you going to the game tomorrow? You want to tailgate and watch TV, but you don't have everything you need to do it. Call World of Wireless. They got the tailgater units. They got a handful of the last year's model, the older model, on sale, $99. You can get one free when you sign up for Dish. If you need to rent equipment like that for the weekend, or, hey, I want one for football this week, but I'm going to take it with me to deer camp in 4, 5, 6 weeks or whatever, whenever you're going in November for Modern Gun, just have one. And the price has never been better right now. They've got some old clearance models at great prices. So call World of Wireless. It will make tailgating tomorrow easier than ever. Call WOW now, 877-305-DISH. That's 877-305-3474. Sign up for Dish with a 2-year price guarantee and find out how you can get a tailgater for free as well. 877-305-DISH.
We had Sean texting into our Cherokee Casino hotline, 877-377-6963. He says, in the next 7 years, would you rather have the Hogs win 8 games all 7 years or win 6 games for 6 years and go to the playoffs 1 year? Well, I think, to me, that's an easy question there, Sean. I'd rather have the Hogs go 6 wins each season and go to the playoffs that 1 year, because that 1 year would be something magical and special. Winning 8 games every year is not going to get you anything. Doug at Sherwood texts in, says, Gus shows you the type of player, assuming Gus Malzahn, shows you the type of player that should be in the Wildcat offense. It is made for a quarterback like Nick Marshall from Auburn, elusive and can throw. We don't have that type of player, so let's just throw out the playbook. It hasn't worked for us since McFadden. And I do find it interesting that every coach since McFadden left since Nutt left has tried the Wild Hog at some point at Arkansas.
The question is, what's the offense look like when you get KJ Jefferson on the field, Chandler Morris, someone that you've recruited to really fit your mold, not someone that's you've lured in through a transfer portal. KJ Jefferson, from everything we're hearing, everything in practice, I mean, he's the real deal. And I think that it's going to be really interesting to see KJ Jefferson, or the head coach's son, and Chad Morris's son, how the offense looks different moving down the road with those two.
Oh, yeah, and even with this offense this year and the quarterback situation they have this year, that makes me wonder how big of an impact does it have to not have a quarterback that's able to beat you with his legs as well as his arm.
Well, it's critical and what we believe is Morris's grand design. And you don't really have one. I mean, you're going to beat him with the arm right now, right?
Right. But I guess my question would be, so why didn't you, and maybe they did try, I'm not saying they didn't try, but why didn't you really try to make sure you got some sort of quarterback that could beat you with his legs?
But when you're at the mercy of what's on the transfer portal. Now, Nick Starkel's a guy that understands the league and he's got a great arm. Would you rather have a guy that could do both, beat you with his legs, but it wasn't an SEC-level player? Starkel's very enticing because he can play at this level in the SEC.
Yeah.
And then you pair him up with Rakeem Boyd, and you got two guys that essentially were the starting quarterback and planned to be starting running back at A&M.
Yeah.
Should have been there if everything had worked out as originally planned. So, I just find it interesting how the offense evolves even more. And when he talks about, well, we got a third in. Well, maybe that other two-thirds is a lot of things that these quarterbacks aren't equipped to do yet.
Yeah. And
KJ Jefferson's just not ready to play yet at this point in his career.
Well, and this is something I even brought up to Ty last week, too, is, I never want to play the woulda, coulda, should you game, but and how different would everything be if Kelly Bryant had come to Arkansas? Instead of going to Missouri, how different would it have been? Well, if he had a guy that was able to not only beat you with his arm, but beat you with his legs, was a senior quarterback, had a lot of experience at a high level, national championship level, would this offense look completely different?
It'd be much different with Kelly Bryant. Clay just texted and said, yeah, they did try to get a guy like that, Kelly Bryant. And, you just didn't get him. And The expectations, the excitement level, a lot of things would be much different with this fan base and the way they're viewing things, I think, if Kelly Bryant had ended up here. The excitement going into the season would have been much higher, much higher. Now, keep in mind, Kelly Bryant took the Missouri team to Wyoming and lost in game one. Now, they came back.
He performed well, though.
What was the outcome?
They lost. Well, I know, but I'm just saying he performed.
They had a great bounce back win last week and got things righted, but there's no guarantees even when you bring in someone like Kelly Bryant that it's all going to go well from the get-go.
Right, and that was what my ultimate question was leading towards is, they did try to get Kelly Bryant, I understood, but is it more pivotal for this offense to have a guy that can beat you with his legs or a guy that can beat you with his arm? See what I'm saying? Like, you'd love to have both. We'd all love to have both. Everybody would love to have both. Mm-hmm. But if you had to choose, which is more pivotal to this offense? Being able to step into the pocket and deliver a nice throw, or to be able to win with your legs? Because, again, just from what I've seen and of this offense and knowing how other teams have performed and even a team like Gus Malzahn, I think having a quarterback that is only okay at throwing but really good with his legs, I think would be much more effective. Because even a guy like Nick Marshall at Auburn, he at least threw okay, but he went to the NFL not as a quarterback. Well, and he could beat you with his legs, and he was effective at that.
I hear what you're saying, and I think a quarterback's got to be mobile in this offense, because let's be honest, the offensive line hasn't protected at the level it's got to in this league. So you better be elusive, if nothing else, able to escape the sack. And can you get 4 or 5 yards out of something that was getting ready to be a sack? Can you elude the guy, have enough quickness to at least get to the line of scrimmage and maybe gain something positive? Now, I think you're right. If you had your choice of arm or legs, you'd take legs right now because this offensive line doesn't always give you the opportunity to do what you need to do, so the quarterback's got to scramble. So a quarterback on the loose, and then the play breaks down, and the defense is out of the line. That's where Johnny Manziel made a living, man. He'd get you, you'd think you had him squared up in the backfield. We're getting ready to have a big sack here, and he'd escape out, mm-hmm. and boom. Next thing you know, he's gone for 20.
Yeah.
So, and I'm not saying they got, you know, you're not going to get Johnny Manziel up there, but yeah, if you had to take one or the other, a running quarterback in an open field is a dangerous thing.
Yeah, and if you want a real comparable example of what I'm referring to, this offense would be much better with a Matt Jones than it would be a Tyler Wilson. And they're great, but both great quarterbacks. But I would rather have a Matt Jones with this type of offense, what they're trying to accomplish, than somebody like Tyler Wilson.
And I think the wide receivers may change your opinion on that in time. But where are this offensive lines at? Yeah, I agree with you. You know, holding their blocks, keeping the pocket clean for...
And just being a threat.
2 Mississippi, 3 Mississippi, 4 Mississippi. Yeah, it's not going to happen right
now. Because, Tommy, if they're going to run the option, who are you going to key on if you're a defense? You're going to key on Starkle or are you going to key on the running back?
Yep.
Running back every time. Every time.
Yeah.
Not a threat.
Hey, how long have you lived in your home, and have you checked the mortgage rate you signed 8 or 10 or 12 years ago? Have you done that lately? I really thought I had a great deal when I refinanced my home in 2009. When I first moved in, we got the permanent financing, and it had a great deal on a 30-year. Got a call from Randy at Arvest Bank the other day, and I'm gonna drop a point and a half and go from my 10 years left or 10 years done on my 30 down to a 15. I'm cutting 5 years off the life of my home loan. Have you checked yours lately? Call Randy. He made it easy for me. Randy's with Arvest Bank, 479-573-1127, and with their competitive rates now, right in the low 3% range, it is time to really examine your mortgage. And listen, it's not costing me any cash out of pocket. I'm going to save money. You can lower your payment or lower the number of years on your loan. So if you're looking for a way to lower your bills, this might be the way with Arvest. And they service 99% of their loans. That's the thing I like. I can go to the bank, the place where I bank, and make my loan payment. Talk to somebody when I got questions. There's no 800 numbers involved when you deal with Arvest. So give Randy a call, 479-573-1127. Or if it's easier for you, download their Home for Me app. It's available on your mobile device and search for Fort Smith Home Loans. It's all at Arvest Bank. It's time to take a look at your mortgage rates. Do it today, 573-1127. Call Arvest Bank. Arvest Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Going to be joined by Clay Henry of Hogs Illustrated at 7 o'clock here this morning. He'll be with us for the entirety of the show the rest of the way. And I'm going to get into, you know, as far as Starkle and stuff, what kind of expectation, stat-wise, could you expect out of the new QB1 for Arkansas? I don't really know. Because I don't really know what this offense is going to be truly capable of now that they've had a full week to have him as taking all the first-team reps, to have him being the guy, to have a game plan that's catered more to what he's comfortable with and what some of his strengths are. That's going to be the ultimate question. And if he can perform well, and when I mean perform well, I mean go out and throw for a couple touchdowns, throw for 250, 300 yards, complete 65, 70% of your passes. Don't turn the ball over a lot. If he can just put forth that sort of performance, that alone is going to be able to get at least people on board to say, you know what, maybe with Starkle at the helm, you got a shot. You got a shot the rest of the way. Not going to beat a lot of teams, but you at least, as Rod on I-40 said, a puncher's chance at winning some games. We'll get to Clay Henry. More of your phone calls, more of your text messages coming up next on The Morning Rush.
Fenceman Friday football picks. Call the Fenceman for all kinds of fences, controlled access, and custom iron projects. 479-782-3936. The Fenceman. We ain't afraid of no work.
All right, it is time for our Fenceman picks. A little friendly competition that we do every year here on The Morning Rush. We got Henry the Fenceman along with us. And just to give a recap of last week and where the standings are as of right now through 2 weeks, Clay got 2 of 4 last week when he came to his picks. He had LSU and Texas A&M picked correctly. And remember, folks, this is against the spread. It's not straight up. I was able to correctly, not really correctly, I was closest to getting the point totals for Arkansas and Ole Miss at 45. Tommy, you picked A&M, and that was your lone victory. Oh. And Henry, you got LSU in your lone victory. So, to give an update on the scores, Clay is leading the way at 4. I have 3, and Tommy and Henry have 2. So it's really still close, plenty of time to make up. And that's what we're going to do right here. I'm going to save the Arkansas game for our last pick here. All right, we're going to mix it up a little bit, and we'll start with the Alabama Crimson Tide.
All right,
all right.
By the way, Henry, how you doing?
I'm doing great.
John's just been rude. I didn't even talk to you yet.
No,
come on, John.
I'm sorry.
Welcome in, Henry.
Yes,
me and Clay are glad to see you.
Yeah. Sorry about that, Henry. Apparently, I was being rude by doing the segment. Anyway,
hey, here's what we're going to do. Can you build a fence with just bars? We're going to put John in it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes, we can.
Okay.
Okay.
If he doesn't change his ways, we're putting him not on the fence, but in the fence.
In the fence.
Okay.
That's right.
Well, I was about to say, Clay, I'll build a fence around you. And for that comment, the fence just got 10 feet taller. So
that's right. I won't be able to get out. I'll be in there forever.
Just remember that. So
just bring me some food every once in a while.
All right.
And a beer. Yeah.
Let's get into our picks. We'll start with Alabama and South Carolina, one of the few SEC games and SEC matchups going on this weekend. Alabama still looking dominant early. They are 24.5-point favorites over South Carolina. Clay, we'll start with you. Who do you got?
I got Alabama. I mean, I think they'll crush them. And, we really haven't seen Alabama, in their – I mean, it's like what do you find out about, playing Duke, right? I think this is a game where you see what they can do offensively, and they go three quarters turning Tua loose and – gets ugly pretty quick.
Okay. That's pretty fair. Henry, what about you?
I'm with Alabama.
Alabama as well.
Absolutely.
Hard to bet against them, Tommy.
I'm going with those guys. You can't go against Alabama. I lose every time I do. Alabama, lay the points.
Now, I guess this is going to be a fun one because I'm going with Alabama. So, essentially, one's going to gain anything on that game.
Wash.
I got to stop picking Alabama games.
I kind of like the way that worked out. The leader can't lose points.
Yeah,
that's exactly good.
That's right. That's what Clay wants right there. So, all right, the other SEC game, and this one is going to be a lot more fascinating because neither of these teams have looked very impressive, but one of these teams have lost their quarterback for the entire season. Kentucky and Florida. Now, Florida is only favored by 10 points in this game. So, could be a little interesting. And Kentucky, of course, lost Wilson, their quarterback, for the season. So, Henry, we'll start with you. Kentucky or Florida, who you got?
I think it's so close. I'm going to go with Kentucky.
Going to go with Kentucky. Okay.
Two in a row.
Going with the Cats there. All right.
They'd lost like, 38 in a row to Florida till last year?
Till last year, yeah. So they're going to go on a winning streak themselves, according to Henry. All right, Tommy?
Give me Florida.
Florida, okay.
They're going to start a new 38-year streak or whatever it was. Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you what, Henry, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to say Kentucky. And remember, this is just up against the spread.
Right.
So I'm not saying Florida's going to lose, but I do think Kentucky keeps this one close. So give me the Cats. All right, Clay, who do you got?
I got Florida, and I think they're going to pound on them. I think this is a revenge game, and I don't think Kentucky's near the team they've been. They lost their quarterback. I mean, they've got the transfer from Troy, who's not bad, and in some ways he might be better than Wilson, the kid they lost. But I just think they lost too many horses. I mean, they lost a great running back, maybe three or four really good defensive players, best defensive player in the SEC. Last year was an first team All-American, top defensive player in America. Yeah. And I don't think I think there will be revenge just like Tommy. They're about to have a new losing streak of one.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's fair enough. So we're pretty split there. All right. Moving on to Arkansas and Colorado State. Originally, this line started at Arkansas favored by 12. It has now moved to 10. Arkansas is favored by 10. In this game, I'll go ahead and kick it off since everybody else has gone first here recently. I'm taking Colorado State. I'm not saying Arkansas is going to lose this game to Colorado State, but they're not going to cover the spread. Give me the Rams. Tommy?
Happy hedge. Hogs win. Close. Colorado State.
So you're going with the Rams as well. Okay, Henry?
I'm going with the Rams.
Oh,
I don't think they'll cover the spread.
Oh, man.
I think it'll be really super close.
All right. Okay, so 3 for the Rams. Clay?
I think Arkansas is going to cover.
All right.
I think this is going to be one of those games where
I baited him in.
Edge away from the field.
Yep. We got him in. All right.
Well, he can gain some ground, or we can gain some ground on Clay there as well. All right. So, for a final pick, real quick, total number of passing yards for Nick Starkel in this game.
Ooh.
Clay, how many?
I'm going to say 320.
320. Wow. Okay. High number. All right. Tommy?
I'm going to go 240.
240. Henry?
Let's say 255.
255. Fair enough. Fair enough. All right. I'm going to go the under. I'm going to take 215 in my
$1 bond.
$1.
I changed mine to 301.
Nope. Sorry. Locked it in, Clay. Too late.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Give is to Alex Collins straight up the middle. And Collins on the run. They won't catch him. Alex Collins is going to take it all the way to the house. Touchdown, Arkansas, 80 yards.
The former Razorback quarterback for the Hogs, Tyler Wilson. Tyler, good morning. How you doing?
Good morning, fellas. How you doing?
We're doing awesome. Obviously, talking a lot about Arkansas and Colorado State coming up tomorrow. But we haven't had a chance to catch up with you since last week, so I want to just ask you real quick, that Arkansas-Ole Miss game, especially offensively, was not what Arkansas intended. It's not what Chad Morris intended. Just what were some of the glaring issues that you saw in that game offensively, and why the Arkansas Razorbacks couldn't move the ball very well?
Well, I think you've got kind of a tale of two halves. The first half, things definitely looked slow offensively, but, we were in the ball game, and you go into halftime thinking maybe there's a spark to be ignited and that there's an opportunity, and then you switch quarterbacks, and I think that was the big thing. You see Starkel come in and you're going, maybe he can ignite some things, give some energy to the offense. And what I saw is an ability to make plays. I thought he had some quickness to him that Ben Hicks did not have in terms of escapability in the pocket. You didn't see him run the ball down the field, but you just saw him move around and make plays. Then you saw arm strength and you saw some gutsiness. And I think more than anything, Clay, I mean, you can validate this or not. I saw some positivity when he walked in the huddle, some excitement. You just saw something in his eyes that you didn't see with the other quarterback. And I think a lot of people are leaning on that. There were four or five or six plays in the second half that you go, maybe if that guy was playing in the first half, this game, we'd be in it. But I think if anybody's leaning on anything or any positivity coming away from that game, it's the fact that, Nick Starkel might be able to ignite a few plays in this offense, which you're going to have to generate in order to keep Arkansas in some of these games moving forward.
Tyler, it looked like he was decisive with the first throw. In other words, he knew who he was going to get the ball to, and the ball came out. And I know there was a group of guys blocking in front of him that really appreciated that. I mean, it's like if you get the ball out quick, those offensive linemen, they don't have to set that pocket for very long. And now I want to ask you, this goes back to Coach Morris talking about having 25-30% of the offense that the quarterback is, quote, going to carry into the game. And their fans are a little, they got to know more than that. And I mean, as far as what you carried into a game week to week, knowing what the game plan was, I mean, you don't take the 380-page playbook into the game each week, do you, Tyler?
Yeah, I mean, I think it depends on each game, and I think it depends on the coach and how they operate. I mean, I definitely know the first couple years of Petrino, I really didn't know what the full book looked like. But I'll say this, a lot of training, and it depends on the coach, right? There's some coaches that have the theory, let's throw everything at them. Let's throw, the math teacher, let's throw everything at them and then we'll go back and we'll reteach, and then we'll reinstall. And then some people are like, no, until we learn the basics, we're not going to get to the advanced stuff. And, you know, there's kind of two different theories. And, you know, I kind of get the sense that Chad Morris is kind of about, let's get good at what we're getting good. We'll get good at the simple stuff before we get the complex stuff. And Bobby was a little different, you know, so I always felt like it was important, to grasp the entirety of the offense. And I hated it as a player because it required me to study a lot. And I never felt like we were good at any one particular thing. But then all of a sudden, when we needed to draw something up in the game, it was like, oh, well, I've heard of that before. I remember that before. And so, you know, there's kind of two different theories, and I get that sense that Chad's a little more the other direction.
Former Razorback Tyler Wilson with us on a Football Friday on the Morning Rush, brought to you by Harry Robinson Buick GMC. Tyler, what have you seen from the wide receivers so far, and what do you think the future of that position looks like for the rest of the year?
You know, again, we saw a couple plays, but it wasn't a great showing. You had the catch. There were a couple catches that were made where balls were thrown well behind them, but yet they made really good adjustments. It was hard to tell. So I'm sorry because it wasn't crisp. It wasn't clean. Not to sugarcoat anything. It wasn't. But you think with Starkle, one thing Starkle brings is the arm strength and the ability to throw the ball down the football field. And I think those wide receivers, they praised Starkle. I mean, they were like, man, we got our guy in now. You know, thank goodness, finally. And I feel like they think he can give them a chance on balls down the field. I think I've heard an interview this week and a couple of the guys were favorable to the way Starkle spins the football. You know, there's some guys when they throw the football there, it comes out and it's a, you know, it the way it spins, it's a knuckler. You never can catch the end of the football. It's like you're guessing what the end of the football is going to do when it gets to you. And there's guys that throw a really, really tight spiral, and receivers love that because they can actually visually see the end of the football and the dot when they come in. And, you know, I don't know if that's how I threw the football or not, but they got it. But I think Starkle throws a really clean ball, and I think these wideouts will, I could see them probably being more favorable to Starkle because of
that. Tyler, you did throw a gorgeous ball. It was you could spin it, and everybody from Garrick McGee to Paul Petrino to Bobby's like, the dude can spin it now. When it comes out, it's spinning. And it was fun to watch. I loved Bobby Mundy when he was going through the quarterbacks and he got to you. And it's like, I knew what he was going to say. He says, now he threw some of those passes better than Mallett. And he could take a licking and keep on ticking. I think we're going to re-W the Timex, okay? Well, was it fun listening to Bobby?
You know, I didn't go to the event, but I did watch it later. I had a meeting. It was right at lunch, and it was an important one, or I would have missed it in a heartbeat to be there because, you know, I think you see the value when that place was sold out and what a lot of people still think and remember about that time period, and they go back statistically and look at, you know, 22-5 in those 2 years and so on and so forth. And I don't know what the SEC count was, but it was a winning record against SEC opponents. And then, you know, you look at the last 6 years or whatever. But listen to those. I didn't even know he knew my name. So that's good that he acknowledged that he knew. But, you know, I think what's interesting, you talk about throwing the football. I think everybody thought I could throw the football, but they were wondering, where the heck's the ball going to go? You know, I mean, does he? I mean, all five receivers, all four receivers were all, you know, with some of the other quarterbacks, you knew they were going to throw it at one spot. I think sometimes Bobby didn't know where the heck I was going to throw the football, for good or better. But there was, you know, I could see that with Starkle. I see a little bit of that in Starkle, kind of the transition out of the glory days back into, you know, maybe this weekend. Starkle kind of has a little gunslinger to him, and probably drives Chad Morris and Joe Craddock nuts, and maybe why Ben Hicks got the start the first couple games, because they felt like, at least when he's out there, I know where the football's going to go. But Starkle's got a little bit of a wild hair in him, and that wild hair can be good at times. It can be really good. There's that Brett Favre mentality. And, you know, it's I'm not necessarily, just because it says I probably should throw the out route to the left, and probably 9 out of the other 10 quarterbacks that come here would throw the out route to the left. They're playing off coverage to the right, and the guy's open. I'm throwing it over here. And, you know, as a wide receiver, you break the huddle. I always felt the guys were more favorable because they knew they might be getting the ball even though they didn't think they were going to get the ball. So, you know, I could see a little bit of that in Starkle.
Well, Tyler, another question I have for you, speaking of Nick Starkle, is something that he and Chad Morris both have said this week is about how much input that Starkle will actually have in the game plan leading up against Colorado State. I don't think that's uncommon, but what is that process like when you were playing? How much input did you have, and what was that process? How did it go about as far as the game plan for the next opponent?
You know, I felt like there were, you know, staffs do a great job. I mean, those guys stay up there all night long trying to put the game plans. Their wives don't see them at all. And, you know, I think it's, one, getting Joe Craddock in a room, getting Chad Morris in a room, and getting Starkle in a room, and getting a highlighter out and going, okay, here's the 20 plays that I really like. Here's the red zone stuff. Here's the 2-point conversions. Here's the, and you get a sense of what your guy really, really likes. And then, you know, a lot of times the coaches feel maybe they've got a good idea of what the guy likes, and then they get in a room like that and they start going through it, and they're like, man, I had a totally different perception of what you maybe like than what you're telling me here. But you know, there's only a couple occasions that I remember in my career where we go to the sideline, and it was a 2-point conversion play. It was against Auburn, the first time I ever come in, and Petrino goes, all right, we're going to run, I don't know, it's like a pick play or some kind of stick play. And he said, or do you like that North Dart? And I said, let's run North Dart. You know, and so there's only a couple times I remember that ever happening. But typically the quarterbacks are marginally in favor or in the process of making game plans happen. Most of the time that'll be the coaches, but I think they do have a pretty good idea of what Nick likes.
If Nick Starkle called and asked for some advice from Tyler Wilson before this start tomorrow, what advice would you have for him?
Man, come in with the same energy in the first play that you brought in at halftime, first of all, and then second of all, just let it go right now. You know, I mean, you're 1-1. I mean, a lot of people, I think in this state, think, you know, the sky is falling, but your record's 1-1, and you've lost to an SEC opponent on the road. You get you're playing a non-conference game, but you're playing them in your stadium, and you can change the expectations this entire year. You can change the expectations of the entire fan base by a good week this week, and you know, that's the positivity. And you know, you can change the outlook from your teammates too. And you know, I think he has experience. I'd just say go let it rip, take some shots, be aggressive. You know, we've seen conservative, but you know, that's what I like about him. I think he's a little bit of a gambler. I'd say go gamble and take shots, take plays, but don't don't try to do too much, but you've got gifts. You've got the ability to throw the ball that nobody else on the sideline has, and you've got the ability to run that nobody else on that sideline has. And I think you see him run when he gets open lanes and there's nobody open. Make some plays with your feet because he's gifted there. You know, so all of those things, I think, I hope Nick can deliver this weekend.
Tyler, just one last question. Everybody talks about, you know, the in the NFL, the sound is in the quarterback's ear. How about, would you like to have Bobby Petrino in your ear talking, you know, in between plays?
I never liked that earpiece and helmet feel. I mean, I never did. But one, because it sounds like a walkie-talkie. Clay, it sounds like, you know, like those old war videos where, I mean, movies, and you're hearing the guy on the walkie-talkie, they can barely understand what's going on. I was playing in Oakland, and it was like, this was like a disciple of Gruden that was coaching me at the time, you know, it's these long, elaborate play calls, and especially these coaches that want to make it all sophisticated. You know, Chad Morris doesn't even need a earpiece in the helmet because they just hold up one finger or one card on the sideline. Everybody knows what to do. But, you know, in the NFL, it's like these ridiculous play calls, and like you can barely hear the, especially if you've got a play caller that can't, he doesn't communicate real well. It's like breaking in and out. And you're like, I think I've got this play right. But, Petrino. I'm glad they would have cut it off. You only have 10 seconds.
Yeah.
Oh, I bet so. Tyler Wilson, former Razorback quarterback. Always appreciate you hopping on with us. Tyler, have a great weekend, man. Looking forward to catching up with you next week.
Yeah, y'all too.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
Like the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast? Check out the Halftime Pod at hitthatline.com.